I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason in on this 25th day of February, coming to you from the Peoria Civic Center at the Illinois Soybean Summit today. About 300 will be in the audience here. Should be a fantastic day. One of the folks that is presenting earlier this morning is Darren Newsome. He's with DTN. Many of you will probably read him online at one point or another, and an analyst that takes a look at the marketplace. Good morning to you, Darren. Thanks for being with us. What's your primary message for soybean growers in the state of Illinois today?
The biggest message that I have is that we're getting conflicting signals. In fact, that's the actual title of my talk. And it's fascinated me basically for much of the last year, if not last year and a half, the conflicting signals that we're getting from these very bearish USDA numbers and just this overwhelming sense in the market that supply and demand is way out of whack, and that, you know, we are in a situation where supply is just outpacing demand, given the U.S. crops, South American crops, weather forecasts, and all that. But the markets are telling us something completely different. So sooner or later, one side or the other is probably going to have to give in. Given the weight of evidence, or quote-unquote evidence, that we have right now, it would seem that the market's going to have to change its mind at some point, start to work lower and come under pressure. But what if it doesn't? What if the market's actually right in this case? And when I talk about the market and the fundamentals, I'm talking about the spreads. What if they're actually right and this situation is far more bullish? We know USDA has had difficulty calculating U.S. ending stocks year after year after year. Is it setting up to be that sort of situation again? And if so, will we see it any time before the September 30th quarterly stocks report?
So I believe what you're referring to is the ending stocks have tended to start out at 400 million bushels or better for soybeans, and they have ended up in last year 191 million bushels, but in the previous years 135, or in that really much tighter situation.
That's exactly right. And I visited with I visit constantly with DTN contributing analyst, fundamental analyst Joel Carlin, and you know, we talk all the time about how about USDA's tendency to underestimate demand for U.S. supplies. And it's just a given that we have going into every year. It certainly looks like here in 15-16 we've got the same sort of scenario playing out. And then with today's release of USDA at the USDA Outlook Forum, you know, a look at new crop numbers as well. I haven't seen the full tables, but my guess would be is that we are starting with a very high ending stocks number, again, due to possibly a lower demand figure than what we'll see in the end.
So some of those numbers came out last week, again released this morning by USDA and their agricultural expo in Washington, D.C. today. We'll take them up in further detail during the closing market report this afternoon. Also, Joel Carlin, you may recognize, is a name that we interview from time to time on Commodity Week. He's based in California, and we talked to him. He is a good fundamentalist. So I'm surprised, though, to hear from you that are you actually thinking it's a friendly bullish market, or are you just on the side of the expectations that for soybeans that this could be a market that would turn higher?
Well, I'm, you know, like the market itself, I'm kind of caught in the middle on this one, because the investment side of the grain markets these days follows USDA numbers very closely. And so with month after month of bearish numbers coming out, they have built a net short futures position in corn and soybeans. If, on the other hand, spreads remain bullish, particularly in soybeans, if the commercials finally throw in the towel and acknowledge and basically say the supply and demand's a lot more bearish than what these spreads are showing, then we've got a real problem on our hands. The market's going to break out of this sideways range and most likely post another leg down. But if something happens to start to change the non-commercial mind, the investment side of the market's mind, into possibly believing the world and the, you know, the U.S. and the world situation isn't quite as cumbersome as what the numbers show right now, they could start covering that net short position. And if they do, that could lead us to our spring rally. Then, you know, for a long-term move, we're going to have to see some sort of weather-related issue. But short-term, it could come from some short covering.
That probably would have to coincide with the wheat and the corn turning the corner as well. Can you lay out a fundamental picture that is similar for either of those crops? Wheat, I think, might be very difficult. Corn, at our current carryout, you might make some arguments that could be more easily made, I suppose.
wheat is very difficult. Given the strength of the U.S. dollar and the competition in the world market, I mean, we just cannot sell or move any wheat right now. And so the wheat really is going to have to see some sort of collapse, some sort of breakdown in the U.S. dollar index. And this week's news out of Britain certainly has weakened the euro and strengthened the dollar further. So it seems just to put it further away from happening. Corn's probably the most fascinating of, well, it's one of the more fascinating of the grains because it mirrors, for better or for worse, it mirrors the crude oil situation where, you know, both are facing a situation of increasing supplies at a time of disappointing demand. And as we look ahead into 2016, all the talk is that we're going to increase acres again. So despite low prices, despite the fact that we already have large ending stocks and we're not moving anything at this point, we may increase our production again. We've already had the three largest years on record as far as production goes, the last three seasons. If we were to tag a fourth one on top of that, again, it's very similar to crude oil not cutting its production at a time when global demand just isn't increasing as fast as supplies.
Let me ask you a different question as it relates to all three of these. Are you of a mind for the new crop, for the 2016 crops, that producers should look at it as a normal year and that the USDA numbers, at least to this point, are correct and that they need to protect themselves for the risk to the downside? And if so, by how much? And is crop insurance enough to do that with?
The initial price that we set here in February for crop insurance is going to be pretty low. So it's going to be a little tough compared to what we've seen in the last couple of years. As far as the USDA numbers being correct, they will change. So it's hard to really, you know, peg correct, incorrect. But as I said, the investment side is going to trade them very closely. So we do have to be careful and we do have to, you know, let's take corn, for example. We've basically got a 320 to 350 range going on since October 2014. Break that down, you know, you take that 30 cents out. We got 350 to 380, and then we're right back down to the 320 low from October 2014. That's when things are really going to start getting tight if we do start to break the market down. So I think we are going to have to be a little bit cautious in here. I still think we could see a spring rally. Would not surprise me to see some later planting due to some weather, some wet weather, particularly in the Western Corn Belt. But I know there's a lot of talk about out there about holding out hope for a transition from La Nina to El Nino, possibly bringing drought and higher temperatures. You may be betting on the wind change there. It's going to be tough. I don't know that I would hang everything on that.
So we've talked about corn, soybeans, wheat, crude oil. You haven't mentioned the U.S. dollar yet. The strength in it has been really problematic, and I think as much problematic for exports, which are on pace, relatively speaking, as it has been for creating demand in other places, for instance, in Canada, Argentina, Brazil.
You're right. I mean, we're still running a little bit behind in wheat and corn, close on pace in soybeans. But of course, USDA keeps lowering their projections as well, so it makes it easier to be on target. U.S. dollar index is very strong, and we saw in December when the Federal Reserve finally did move, you know, this vague 0.25%, but where it moved 0.25% from the zero to a quarter, you know, gray area that we were in for a decade. So where are we now? And then all of a sudden in January, the talk started that, you know, maybe we're not going to see those four interest rate increases in 2016 that were discussed, and the dollar started to come down. It looked like the dollar was finally going to break, finally going to start to work lower, maybe give some support to commodities, including the grains, maybe start to improve some of our export chances. But here in February, particularly mid to late February, we've seen Britain start to talk of maybe pulling out of the European Union. This has further weakened the euro. And so it's just one of those things, if we go back, a few simple rules when it comes to watching markets and positioning ourselves in markets. And rule four is a market that can't go down won't go down. And the U.S. dollar index finds a reason to not go down. And so it's very hard to say. You know, it looks like a top is in. It looks like a top should be in. It looks like the Federal Reserve is not going to move more on interest rates here in 2016. But there's just enough out there in the world to continue to support the U.S. dollar. And the stronger it stays, the more difficult it is to move U.S. product. And it could cast a bit of a pall over our hopes for 2000, you know, picking up business in 2016 or 17.
Darren Newsom is with DTN. He's out of Omaha, Nebraska. Joins us here on the Mid-Morning Market Report. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. I'm Todd Gleason.